Lay it all on the table.
Sir, yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
And remember, Strict.
No judgment.
No hesitation.
No filter.
No layovers, and just...
Lay it all on the table.
Woo! Welcome back, everybody, to another Table Thursday. We are your favorite podcast. My name is Eduardo.
Three's here.
It's Mark.
This is Erica.
And if you are new to our podcast, the way our show works, one of the hosts brings a topic to the table, and this week is me, myself, and I.
Wawawi.
So.
And Dupree.
And Dupree.
Sir, and, yes, sir.
And if you're if you're also an avid listener or your first time or whatever it is, go share us on your story, your
Instagram.
To your
Snapchat.
Friends.
On
your
Facebook.
TikTok.
Yes.
Yeah, share us wherever. And then also go give us a review, a like, a heart, a thumbs up.
A
whatever
rating.
You can give.
Yeah, whatever you can give.
You know what?
Give them all,
put our
whatever.
Venmo out there. Or Zelle.
Oh, we should be putting our Venmo.
That's true.
Ooh,
easy
that's a
money.
Good one. Yeah, send us a dollar, 50
no,
cents,
give us
25
some tip.
Cents.
You always listen anyway.
True.
Yeah, tip us. Okay, so... If you heard the intro, there was an extra no layover. So that means one thing and one thing only. We have a guest.
Yes.
Oh, sir, yes, sir.
I'm so excited.
And we've had my sister, both of them. Mm. And now we have my brother.
Yay.
Jesse in the house. Yes.
Well, howdy, y'all.
He is my brother. He was my best man. He is... my 911 tech support. He is a lot of things in my life.
All in one.
And now he is here on the table. He listens to the podcast all the time.
I can say I'm a very avid listener.
Yes, oh he God. Listens. He'll say something to me and I'm like, what? And then he's like, the podcast. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I remember we did talk about that. Anyways, everybody, welcome to the table. My brother, Jesus Guerrero, or you can call him Jesse, or you can call him...
Jesse.
DJG.
Yeah.
You call him, sir, by, yes, sir.
Apparently, yay, I've Jesse. Also been called Gaceso or just, you know, just saying the word Jesus, apparently by most white people, you know.
Oh, my God. That's racist.
It happens quite frequently.
But yeah. Yay. Welcome to the table, Jesse.
Well,
finally,
yes,
you're here.
Welcome.
Yes. This is special because he came to be on the table. He literally flew in. An hour and a half ago, and mm-hmm. he leaves in 2 days.
Yes, upon this recording.
Yes. So he came just to be on the table. He's been Basically. Wanting to be on the table for a while, and now it's here.
Yo, our podcast is going international. We're literally yes. bringing people from outside of their country just to yes. be with you guys, with us tonight.
Yes, exactly. And it's hard to get him... in one spot, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. He travels a lot. And actually, we're going to go straight into our main topic. So
he's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a busy man. Why, you may ask?
Got some places to go.
Because he is owned by the military. He is owned by the government.
Ooh.
He is
at least
the
right cheek, I've told people. You know, the left cheek I would try to receive myself. I'll give him the right cheek.
Oh, so not 100%. That's good to know.
You got to give a little bit for yourself.
90%.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes. Only spank on the right.
Good to know. So today we're going to talk. He's the first guest we've had that's in the military.
True.
So he's in the Air Force. How Ooh. Many years have you been in the Air Force now?
That's going to be 11 years right
11
now.
11
Damn.
Years.
Damn.
Yes, daddy.
Yeah.
Sir, yes, sir.
So sir, you literally yes, joined the military when you were...
out of high school, yep. I was...
Wow.
Well, I want to say it was 2 weeks after graduation. I Damn. Went
oh
off to
God.
basic military training, so yeah.
So no summer vacation for you.
It was a mini vacation, or I say my vacation was, BMT.
Wow. That's big. That must be like also hard though, because so you're like, you're leaving your family, and then you're just like...
Yeah.
Surrendering to the military.
That's one way
I
to
surrender.
Put it. You know, yeah, you kind of feel that way, you know, everyone marching in a line, you know, you line up on a bus, you sit there, everyone kind of like looking to your left and right, like, do I talk to you? Do I not talk to you? I think I'm just going to stay quiet this whole ride, you know, just we'll get there when we get there.
Wow.
But no, for me, I would say like that was like a long time ago.
It was. I remember I was there when we had to send him off. on a little bus, wave at him.
Oh, it's like the
he
movies.
Was so little, right. So young.
Yes, a younger me. Those were great times.
So yeah, so we're just gonna feel free to ask him questions. I actually have a first question.
Okay.
And we can go from there. Mm-hmm. But so basic training. So let's start from the beginning. Basic training. That's pretty much the first thing you do when you join the military.
Yeah, good old boot camp.
Is it hard?
So, you know, I always say, like, for me, it wasn't as hard because I'm used to that. My father was in the military. A lot of our uncles, aunts, cousins, you know, we come from a military family. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I kind of expected the, you know, what was going to happen. You know, the easiest thing is as long as you listen and do what you're told, you can have an easy time. But for other people, though, it's life-changing. I've met, when I was there, you know, we had people that, you know, they flew halfway across the country. They're the first in their family to ever do anything like this. And, you know, it can be hard. Most people never even leave the state or the city that they're in. And then now they go to this random place and literally you're just sort of surrounded by a bunch of people who all did the same thing as you. And now you all gotta, you know, go through it together. No, it can be. I admit some times we're a little bit rough because, you know, it's the communication part, right? You're always wondering what your family's doing. Mm-hmm. So, but you can't really do that because it's all about, you know, old fashioned. You get to, when I was going through, you can write letters. It was good old snail mail, you know? So you write a letter on one week and then you have to wait next week to get that letter back.
So you do not get access to your phone. How many weeks is it again?
So when I went through, it was 8.5. I think it still is. I think they might have moved it another week. I had to double check, honestly.
2.5 months.
Yep.
Wow.
I was going to ask.
Go ahead.
If there's like any difference in like boot camp for different departments of the military.
That's why it's called basic military training. So at the end of the day, everybody who enlists, at least, mm-hmm. You all go to the same place, at least for the Air Force. For the Army and the Marines, they have two different sides. So the one will be on the East Coast, one will be on the West Coast to kind of facilitate that the type of training. But at least for the Air Force, we're all located in San Antonio, Texas. Woo-hoo. So everybody that joins goes to the same place and gets the same, you know, in the name, basic military training. So.
Wow.
And then I think what Erica was asking too, because obviously in the military, there's like a lot of different careers you can have.
Right, just like right. There's also like the Navy, then, like with the water.
Right. So after you complete your basic, then you go to, for us, it's called a technical school. So you go to whatever it is your career field
is.
I see. So some that, and that could range, honestly. Some tech schools can be anywhere from, you know, 4 weeks to some of the other ones could be 2 years. It just depends on what your job is. So once you do your basic, you go then do your specialty, whatever your job is that you got picked up for. And then after that, you go to wherever your first duty station is. So.
Wait, so they pick it up for you? Like you don't get to pick which one you want to do?
At least for the Air Force, we like to call it the wish list because, you know, you got to keep on wishing. Mm-hmm. But you get to select 8 career fields at the beginning. You know, you get to say like, ooh, what career fields are you interested in, right?
First pick.
Yeah, and so within grace, you know, they try to get you within those
match
career fields.
You in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it's one of those things that's, at the end of the day, it's what the Air Force needs and not what you want, you know.
True.
So that what were your picks?
I first went in, I was that young, eager person, you know. I wanted to be like an aerial gunner. I wanted to be a linguist. I wanted to, what else did I put on my thing? I think I put some type of maintenance, like a person that speaks a different language. So, like a language
that's
analyst.
Cool.
And you go translate, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But what made you choose the Air Force?
Oh yeah, true. Because there's different fields.
I always say branches. I originally wanted to join the Marine Corps, like my father. But you know, as he pulled me aside, he's like, you know, I appreciate that. You know, I love the commitment, and you wanted to hold the legacy. But you're too smart for the Marines. So I can tell you right now, you need to go Air Force because you're gonna have a way better time. And honestly, to this day, every other sister service branch that I've, you know, been around the world with, they all kind of say the same thing. That honestly, if given the a choice, they would probably go Air Force too.
So all the others are not that smart.
I wouldn't say they're not smart. There's some definitely intellectual people in those career fields and those branches.
But I think also like the Marines is it's more like the tough,
the combat.
Like, if you notice, like the Marine guys are always all like
built,
camouflage.
Yeah, you got the devil dogs, the alpha types. Yeah. You know?
So Marines are always like on.
You guys are the brains.
As we're the person that
sits
back at the base, and we'll take care of the base while the other branches go go outside the base and do what they need to do.
Sounds pretty chill.
Actually,
that's a pretty good deal.
Okay, so another question, and this is like based on movies. I wonder if it's real, but like in like these like military movies, they'll show like when they join and like. They all have to line up like butt naked right next to each other.
What movie were you watching?
This question.
Mark is like, I love this. I'm joining tomorrow.
I'll give you two instances on that. The first one is when you go through MEPS, right? So when you're doing your initial like
not the drugs, right?
No, not the drugs. Not the drugs.
He said MEPS, sir.
I know.
So when you're trying to see if you can qualify for the military, there's a portion where you go in a room and you literally line up with a bunch of other dudes, right? And you go down to your underwear. At least they give you that. But ultimately, they're checking to see if you have scars. They're checking to see if your joints work. They make you do some weird poses and stretches to make sure you can move and limber. It's kind of funny. You kind of have to like almost like duck walk across the room, and you just see a bunch of dudes in their underwear just duck rocking across the room. And
that's hot.
Did they do this to girls too?
They're in their own room. It's all females in that room. But yeah, same thing. You just go down to your panties and bras, and you do the same thing we do.
Oh, wow.
But then after, once you are in basic military training, you stick about anywhere from about 60 people to one kind of dormitory, as we like to call it. Mm-hmm. And there you do have to shower, and the shower heads there. It's an open bay,
Football.
Yep.
Football locker room.
Just a giant room with a bunch of shower heads. And for us, at least.
Mark would like that.
Yeah. There is no secrets.
Where do I sign up? Well, since we're on this topic, I wanted to know, is there
Have
any,
you ever
like,
dropped the soap? No.
Only once.
Sorry.
Uh-oh. But is there any like openly like people or men in the military that is part of the LGBTQ community?
Yes, actually quite a lot, honestly. More than you realize. At a time, when I joined, it was not how do I say it? It was still kind of illegal, I guess you can say.
Wow. Like hidden from
and the masses. It was kind of, told if you were part of the LGBT community that, Don't announce yourself. Don't let anybody know, because that could, wind up getting you trouble. But once they did the whole don't ask, don't tell, or was it no, don't ask, don't tell. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you could come out as, any part of the LGBT community, and you can, be open about it while still serving in the military. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, there's still, political debate within the political sphere on that. But all the people I've met throughout the service, I've had no trouble with. They're just like anybody else that I serve with. They do the same job as I do. Mm-hmm. There's no difference,
Wow, that's crazy. Cool. That in 11 years, like, it already has changed so much.
That's for sure. I always say coming into it, there is so much that when I first came in has now changed completely to this day. And it's been interesting to kind of be part of that change as well, see that change. So,
can you disclose some of that?
What is it you're trying to have me disclose?
I don't know. Like, what are like, I guess, one major
bigger
thing that changed throughout
big change.
The
changes.
Year?
I mean, other than, kind of with the LGBT community, that's kind of always been a big thing. But at least for, I can't always speak on the other branches because, of course, I don't, mm-hmm. I've always been in those. Yeah. But at least for the Air Force, policy is just kind of where it comes to tattoos. Hair policies has been a big one these past couple of years. It was, I guess, recently.
Yeah, that's true. Because, like, you know, there is like that stereotype of like military haircut where it's like super short, like mm-hmm. on the sides, like almost like a fade cut.
Yep. And, so yeah, over time, at least for men, it has been getting longer. So, you know, it used to be. So you can wear
a ponytail now.
Well, you can't wear a ponytail, but you can have your hair pretty long because it's all about the wording, right? At the end of the day, it's all about the wording. So mm-hmm. when the biggest change, at least for that one, is they changed the term from length to bulk. Right. And the biggest difference on that is meaning. So like, you know, if you pick your hair up, you know, you pull on it, that's length. But bulk is what's physically shown. So like if you comb your hair down, put gel on it, as long as the bulk of the hair.
Yeah.
And so when that changed, men could start growing their hair out. Mm. Granted, you have to kind of, you know, groom yourself to keep the bulk down.
As long as it doesn't like flow down your back or
correct.
Something.
You still have rules on the back of your neck and mm-hmm. as well as around your ears. So
I see.
But in
so
general,
no
like
man buns.
No man buns, unfortunately.
gotcha.
They'd be like,
Mark's hair might be a little
gel.
Too tall. Will you say Mark's hair is a bit bulky?
Hey, you know, honestly, I have seen people with longer hair that, you know, they get a little gel product, and I'm sure we can get it down to what we need it to get.
But what it is right now is definitely too bulky.
We can make it work. We can make it work.
See?
Mark, you can make it work. Where to sign up?
Let's go. Where's the shower room?
Ooh.
Oh. He wants to skip the basement.
Maybe you should just do like, can I get a tour?
Oh, true. But only in operating hours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Okay. So also, we all know that with the military comes...
great a responsibility.
A lot of not traveling, but not like by choice, but obviously you get stationed in all parts of the world. And sometimes you get to choose and sometimes you don't get to choose. So talk about that process.
Yeah, so definitely my career particularly, right, has been unique. I can't say it speaks for the majority of the Air Force.
Yeah, you've been a lucky-ass bitch.
I know, you've been to a lot of places.
A lot of people can say I have been a lucky person, that's for sure.
And good places, I feel like.
I feel like, too. Yeah, you know, I've been to some good places. So for me, I started my career in Guam, this tiny little island in the Pacific.
I've been there!
That's close to the Philippines.
Yeah. My family would go there to get our passport stamp and go back to the
because it's U.S.
Yeah, so yeah, U.S. territory. So it's a fun little island. Honestly, I had a blast when I was there.
Aww,
so that's where cool. That's where I started. Afterwards, I went to another cool location that most people don't get to go to. Is a small base in named Volkel in the Netherlands. Mm. So.
Ooh!
Wow, yeah. Netherlands.
Netherlands,
fancy.
Yeah.
I got to visit.
For those people who don't know, it's between Belgium and Germany, all right? Just open Google Maps, you know, you see Belgium, you see Germany,
I've
you're like, oh,
I've seen
Netherlands
in photos. It's pretty.
Yes, yes. Very flat, but that's why they have a lot of wind there. But then
that's chilly.
Hey, it can be. It can be.
A lot of tulips.
Oh, yes, the tulips are very, I think, what is it like?
Dua Lipa.
I want to say it's like 80% of the world's tulips comes from like the Netherlands or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. They export like a lot
fields.
Of tulips.
How long do you stay in each area usually?
So typically a short tour is considered 2 years for a person who is unmarried. Extended long is considered 3. And then if you are married, a short tour is 3. And then extended long is 4.
Oh,
it's longer if you're married.
Correct.
Because
you
why?
Have to settle.
Because you went single. Well, because you're not lonely.
You can't just like move your kid all the time.
So the big
there's
reason
married,
there's no kids.
The big reason for a lot of what I would say what the military does is the fun thing, you know, is cost. All right, that's what drives a lot of things.
Mm.
So it's more cost effective to keep somebody there longer with more people than it is to constantly
move
large
them.
Families.
That's very true.
Yeah, so. Makes sense.
And I feel like, would you say that a lot of people that join end up marrying someone in the military?
Yeah, there we do have high marriage and divorce rates, that's for sure.
Oh. Is there a process throughout that? Like, you can't be in the same
base or
branch?
No, there's not really too many rules on who you can marry. To be honest with you, it's mostly like if you're trying to marry a foreign national, So like if you're trying to marry, you know, unfortunately, like if you're trying to marry somebody from China, they might, you know, they might question a lot of things before they can accept your license or something of that nature. Or even I've had some people that that have married someone from like Egypt or in some cases, like, you know, they marry someone from Iran or Iraq. But unfortunately, that's like where they were born. But in some cases, they like moved there when they were like 1 year old. But unfortunately, since they are born there, they're considered, you know, an Iranian citizen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now the military is questioned, like, oh, why are you marrying an Iranian citizen? You know, so stuff like that can happen. But
is there a lot of sleeping around in the barracks?
I was going to ask,
Oh, we'll go back to my young years, huh?
Let's get spicy.
Yeah, so you know, it's I can't say that it doesn't happen. There are terms for certain people that that happens.
Code names?
Code
words.
So the term we use are Barrack Bunnies. All right.
Barrack Bunnies. Yes.
Oh yeah. Ooh, bunnies.
Because they, you know, they hop around, you know, and get that.
Sluts. So that's common? Like people just sleep around in the military?
I'm not saying that, you know, this is like no matter where you go, it's
if they
happen.
Have a term.
But you know, like, if they have a term, which, you know, typically they like to say a Barrack Bunny, you know, and
were you ever a Barrack Bunny?
Me? No.
Bitch, don't lie. We're laying on the table. Tell us.
No. How many people have you slept with in the military?
My goodness.
Yes. Ask the question.
Just a number.
It's one of those things that I kind of have to count, you know?
You signed it? Is it more than five fingers?
I guess. Well,
more than two hands?
Technically, while in the military, I guess you could say that it's more than five fingers, and yes.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, okay. If you see the same people every day for a long time. And
I mean, I feel like it's like a college dormitory.
Yeah, it's exactly. And you're like in a different a place.
Yeah.
You're in a foreign country.
You're like, you get horny and stuff. You know?
It gets cold.
Yeah.
It's like you want to warm up a little.
Wait, that what happens. If you guys want to cuddle? Can you guys cuddle at night?
At the end of the day, there's a reason why I mentioned earlier there's high marriage and divorce rates, right? Mm. It's because, you know, what I hear is a lot of people, you know, in order to get out of the dorms, because everybody doesn't want to live in the dorms. Everybody, they want to live off base, right? They want to live off post. Typically what, you know, some people may have do is, you know, they get married, and as a married couple, you can now live off base. So then.
Smart.
It's all about the loopholes. Bulky, lame.
Uh-huh.
So like, we're learning.
You want to marry me for like military? 2 years so that we can live off base? Sure.
Roomies.
Now, I can say doing such things can get you in trouble. That's why I say I only hear about these stories.
Wait, so real quick, when you're in the barracks, how many people do you room with?
It depends on where you go, because honestly, every barracks is different. You know, some of them, most of them that I kind of been through, what's called a Jack and Jill style. So you have your own kind of room with a closet and a bed, and then you share a bathroom.
Okay.
And like I said, it's like Jack and Jill. So one end of the door opens, the other end of the door opens. You can go in each other's rooms.
Okay.
Convenient.
So, other dorms I've been to are where it's kind of like a quad. You know, so you all share, you all have your own bedroom and bathroom, but you all share a living space with the kitchen.
Oh, okay. So very dorm style.
Just like
style.
This.
Literally, yes. Literally like a dorm.
Jack and Jill.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I say
learning
depends on where you go. And some, now when you, you know, deploy, that always changes rapidly. You can either get a tent. That's a very nice tent. You know, you can fit about, you know, a good amount of people in it, and you just sit in these little cots right next to each other.
Well, that was actually something I wanted to talk about was deployment, because I know you've deployed a couple of times, and I wanted to ask how living in those. Because I remember you used to call me sometimes, and you were like, go hide, not hide somewhere, but you were like, because you would like
sneak
walk
you in
a whole bunch of people would be sleeping, so he would like go outside and he's literally sitting outside out of nowhere, and I'm like talking to me.
Hey, look, you got to be respectful of your tent mates, all right? You know, you don't want to be that guy, you know, like, you know, all talking. Hours of the night talking, you
so
know,
it's
whatever.
Actually tents.
It's like, it's just imagine one big like long tent. Like, I know, of course,
AC?
The view. In some places, yes, but I can't say that they all have AC.
Okay. Damn. So you don't even have like that much of a privacy when you're in there. Like you can't
It depends. So like some places, you know, we like to call it tent city. You know, it's just a bunch of tents. You live in a bunch of cots and some bunk beds and yeah, it's kind of fun.
Have you ever caught anybody jerking off?
Yes, I can definitely say that. So what people like to do, right, is they like to, especially when you have bunk beds, so they'll hang like a sheet or a blanket kind of like on the ends of the bunk bed to kind of give themselves some privacy.
So they're open about it. I'm about to jack off everybody. I'm putting a sheet.
Right.
I can't say I've met someone that's been that open about it, but
I mean, if you're hanging a sheet, what else are you doing?
Like they would just do it for the entire time.
No, because
you know?
I'll like
or every at night.
Everybody kind of puts the sheets up to kind of give themselves privacy.
Okay, but no
offense when you hear some kind of, you know, rapid creaking motion. Creaking going off in the middle of the night. That's when no offense, everyone, just make sure you have headphones because, you know, sometimes you're like, all right, and it's time to try to watch whatever I can on this tablet.
Like, how much free time do you guys have? Like, what entertainment do you usually have?
True. Good question.
Again, location-based. Some places you have nothing. but other bases that are a little bit more built up, I mean, you could have little, you know, what to call like BXs and shopettes, or it's kind of funny. You know, you have Starbucks that, I guess locally, right? There's a Starbucks everywhere.
Ooh.
When a deployed location, there's a Green Bean everywhere. And Green Bean is like this chain coffee joint that just goes to all these deployed locations. And it's equivalent to like your Starbucks. You go to Green Bean in the morning, get yourself a good coffee.
I've never heard of some Green Bean. So...
Where do you, like, when you're, like, you talk about these tents and whatever, is there actual toilets or is it
there's porta-johns, yeah.
Porta-potties?
Yeah.
Wait, what's a porta-john?
It's a porta-potty.
Oh, okay. Whoa. It's a different name.
New language over here.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, every time Eduardo would talk about, like, oh, Jesse's in Korea and Japan, I always imagine, like, you have your little condo, you have your little apartment.
Okay. Yes, sometimes. Yes.
Oh, okay, so you still have those.
Yes, we're talking about, like, when you're in the desert, you know,
deployment.
Maybe explain,
like, the difference between deployment and then being stationed somewhere.
Okay, yeah. True. So, like, if I'm like, in a country, like, when I was in the Netherlands or, like, when I was in the United Kingdom, you know, I still live like a local, right? You know, I can have a house or an apartment off base. You know, I can still go to the grocery store just like any other person. I still have bills. I gotta pay utilities. I gotta pay the cable, the internet, the phone.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like any other place, you know, you would live. But when you're deployed, you don't have to worry about all that stuff. They send you to a location wherever they send you, and from there you just do your job, and that's about it.
So what are some of the deployments you've gone to?
Fortunately, one of the locations I have to keep undisclosed because,
ooh,
you know, technically I can't.
We'll bleep it.
I can't say that we're there, but.
Say three places and wink at the right one.
we'll just give a little hint, you know. But other places I've kind of been around are like Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, kind of like those
UAE.
Places. Yep, UAE. So there's some cool places out there.
But which one's your favorite place that you've been to?
Oh, the undisclosed one. Yeah, that was the fun one.
Nice.
But yeah.
Fun.
Texas.
It was Texas.
Right.
Austin,
isn't that where you're from?
It was his place.
Has there been like any fights that broke up like when you're like at deployment or something?
Oh yes.
Was it like crazy, like world fight kind of like?
I mean,
all the military police.
Fight.
You're like world star over here.
Oh, world star. Yes, that one.
I mean, well, like you know, Thur said, I am kind of the military police. So you know, I have seen my share of fights over some dumb stuff. Definitely,
girls, boys.
All of it. I mean, it ranges. It varies, unfortunately.
Is there a lot of politics where you have to deal with in, like,
true.
As a military police? Like, you have to, like, he's higher.
Ranking and stuff.
Hey, yeah. I'll admit, when I was young, right, when you're still that brand new airman, you just get in, sometimes you can have that fear of authority. Because, like, though you are, you know, the police officer, right? You know, you enforce the law out there. But then when you see someone who's
higher
rank and, like, has been in for a long time, there is that kind of, like, fear at first. Mm-hmm. You're just like, can I can I do something? Like, should I? Like, you question. But over time, I've definitely learned that, yeah, I kind of throw that out the window. You know, at the end of the day, if you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong. I'm sorry.
good.
Because that
is the place. You tell them.
I learned that the hard way, unfortunately. But
rule of law. No one is above the law.
At the end of the day.
Ooh, someone's been studying.
At the end of the day. As long as, you know, I've learned this too. As long as you do it correctly, right? You follow procedure. Mm-hmm. You do things correctly. And they are breaking whatever law. They are going against whatever policy. They are breaking the regs in whatever way, shape, or form, right? Then I guarantee you, your command section will have your back. And that's always been the case for me. Like, as long as, you know, things were done correctly, right? Uh-huh. And you were respectful about it, and you did what you were supposed to do.
You don't have nothing to worry about.
You got nothing to worry about.
Do you have to tell them about Miranda? You were doing the right
thing. Huh?
Do you have to tell them about Miranda?
Miranda?
Who's Miranda?
Oh, Miranda Rights?
Oh, Miranda Rights.
Wait, do you also have to tell? Like, do you read Miranda Rights?
So, it is. It's on a little card, actually. I tell people, like, you know, at least for us, like, what you see on TV, that does actually happen. But there's a little card they give you, right? And anytime I've ever had to actually arrest somebody, I do not memorize it. I pull out the card and I read it verbatim. That way I don't get it wrong. I can't mess up. Like, it's just, I'm reading it off the card. And literally the only thing you got to do is just insert your name, you know?
I mean, I feel like that's good because whoever you're arresting, like, oh, he's just doing his job, you know? And then I'm just like, okay, I made a mistake. Yeah. He's literally reading it from a card.
So, and that's the thing about being in the military too, is that you would think, you know, more people would not break the law as much and or like don't do dumb shit, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
They're probably the one that do the most dumb
shit. Because they know the rules more.
I definitely thought that. And I remember you will always tell me like, oh, today I had to deal with this. And like at first I was like, wait, are you in base? Like this is happening in base? And obviously like some of these bases are huge and they have like schools, they have like homes and stuff, but like still I was like, this is happening inside a base, because it's like, wild. Yeah, like you would think these people would behave because obviously they're like sir, yes sir type of people.
And,
you know?
Right.
Hey, and just like with anything, right, there I'm not saying that every person is like, oh, just a bad actor, you know, you're always gonna have bad eggs no matter what you do, right?
Mm-hmm. Bad apples.
Yeah, you're gonna have your bad apples either way, like unfortunately that's just the case throughout. But you know, majority of your people are going to be your good players, you know, the people that follow the rules, that do what they're told, you know, that just they play fair, they play the game. But unfortunately you have your bad apples that, you know, mm-hmm. that just ruin it for everybody else. And that we always make fun of it, you know, when we go around some places, if you see a sign somewhere, we always say that in order for that sign to be there, that means someone did it.
And true.
Like, when there's always a warning sign somewhere, you're like, because somebody did that, and then now they have to put a sign up here.
No skinny dipping.
Because somebody did it.
Somebody did it.
Yeah.
Now they gotta put a sign.
But being in the military, you guys still have your like weekends to like enjoy and do things, go drink and party.
Definitely the drink and party. The weekends, that's kind of subject to your view on what you define as a weekend.
They're more like a doctor
schedule.
Like medical field kind of schedule. You like, have they to don't necessarily yeah, have
you have to remember, though. At least for, like especially in my career field, it's 24/7, 365, you know.
There's, oh, wow. Okay.
There's someone that always has to be at work. True. You know?
Yeah.
We can't just say, like, all right, nobody's going to come in today. And, like, you know, there's just no police on the base.
Merry Christmas. Nope.
No PTOs. Yeah. Sorry, denied.
Wow.
So, but with the schedules I've worked, I kind of like the schedules, honestly. I feel I've grown a lot of accustomed to them. I have varying schedules. I've worked anywhere from, you know, mornings, noons, evenings, afternoons, midnights. I've practically
graveyards.
Worked every, yep, I've worked every possible shift.
He really has.
Wow.
It just depends on where you go and just depends on the needs out there. So.
Yeah, but it's not bad. Like, I was with him for, like, 2 months once. And, like, sometimes we were, like, 3 days. And we had, like, 4-day weekends. So we would, like, travel somewhere during those 4 days. So it can be not a bad schedule.
It varies.
Yeah, but then people are like, oh, you only work 3 days? And I'm like, like, that's like intense. three days of like nonstop work. Like, you're just there.
Yeah.
So do you ever Do you just stay in the military forever, or can you like bounce out, or do you have a contract?
What's
the deal, yo? You're like,
it depends. So typically, right, your average Joe, it's either four or six years, right? Anybody joins for 4 or 6, and then
that's short.
Yeah, that's how it starts, you know.
It's like
you,
college.
Well, then you sign a new contract. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like your initial contract is 4 to 6 years, yep. And then they offer you a new contract. Yeah.
So as long as you stay out of trouble, as we like to say, then you can be eligible to re-enlist, right? And you sign a new contract for another 4 or 6 years.
Oh, so it's not your choice. Like, they have to kind of offer it to you?
Yes and no. So it's like, that's what I say. Like, if you kind of get in trouble through your 4 or 6 years, you can actually be denied your reenlistment. They could be like, you know what?
We don't want you anymore.
Pretty much, right? They can look at your service history and be like, hey, you kind of got in trouble a lot. You did all this. We're not going to approve your reenlistment. We don't want you back.
Yeah.
I see.
That makes sense, though.
But yeah. I've seen people, you know, unfortunately, if you get into too much trouble, you can get kicked out of your contract. And, you know, that's where that kind of whole discharge comes into order. If you can, a lot of people, you know, at least try to get that honorable or administrative discharge. But the big bad one is the dishonorable discharge. Right?
Oh, I mean, that word.
You don't get any like military benefits.
No benefits.
Dishonor to your country.
I mean, yeah. But that's where in some cases, you know, it can kind of prevent people from getting jobs because that pops up on your background, you know.
On your background check.
And that's even like a red mark because you did that in the military.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
True.
So always try to get out on honorable conditions. But yeah, some people, I've met plenty of people who just come in, do their 4 years, get out, and they do whatever they want to. So, but then, you know, you have people who do the long haul. They come in and they just stay for their whole careers.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
wow. And then retire early. Right.
Retiring is depending on, you know, how long you stay in. But to get the benefits, right? Everyone's always trying to chase those benefits. Mm-hmm. Usually the minimum is 20 years. So,
wow.
Damn. Yeah.
So are you planning to stay until? Well, 20 years after you joined?
Yeah, so they always say I'm over the halfway point, right? You know, I'm at 11.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Go, Jesse, you can do it. I mean, only if you're happy. Only if you're loving it.
I might as well finish it off, you know, try to get that 20 years.
Already this far in.
That's the thing. Like, you're already at the halfway mark. You might as well just push the rest. So.
And I just want to clear this up. Like, Jesse sounds like so mature and so like wise for his age, but he's actually like younger than me. Or we're the same age.
No, he's older.
No.
He's 29.
I'm 29.
Oh, the same age.
Yeah, I mean, she's about to be 29.
Yeah, you're still 28. Yeah. So he's older than you.
I guess you are older.
No, she's about to be 29.
You're Erica's age. But I was saying,
age is a wild thing in the military because sometimes that could be that's something you don't really take into account because sometimes when you're working with people, it's all about rank structure, right? There's always a marching
Very
order.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you can have a person who's literally higher ranking than you that's like way younger than you, right? You can have somebody that's, damn, you know.
How do they get promoted?
It just depends.
They had to suck someone's dick.
No. we call that using your knee pads.
Knee pads. Mark, they use your knee pads a lot.
Oh, no need. I'm a veteran.
Those knees He's have thick skin.
You get a lot of ranks on that.
I'm just kidding.
Built-in knee pads.
Imagine for like LGBTQ or like for gay guys, mm-hmm. like you have your ranks.
Oh. 8 inches, 9 inches. Oh. That was a different kind of rank. Y'all now just got it. Okay.
But it can vary because sometimes you have individuals that join, you know, well into their careers. I've met plenty of people that didn't even enlist until they were like in their mid-30s, you know, that it's just it happens. I actually when I was in BMT, I think the oldest guy in our class was, well, I think 41 years old.
Wow. Basically Eduardo's age.
It was crazy.
Bitch. If you were close, you know I'm throwing a cutie at you. I'll throw the ugly one at you.
Oh my god, that poor little cutie.
It's already bruised enough.
I know.
I mean, you know what? It's never too late. I actually had someone in my film school that was like over 60.
Over 60?
Yeah, with all this college kids and stuff. And he was like 60 years old going to film school.
I mean, that's different than joining the military.
Oh, I thought you were joining the military. I was like, damn.
I'm just saying, like, it's never too late to do something that you're like, you know what? I love this. I want to do something with this. So I'm just saying, it's never too late.
Age is just a number.
Sometimes.
Okay. Not if you're calling Eduardo Sage.
Anyways. Well, with that, I mean, that's a good ending. It's never too late.
Happy ending.
To do what you love.
Wait. So do you like being in the military?
True.
True. Good question.
That's a big question, right? Yeah. Overall, right, at the end of the day, I do enjoy being in the military. Oh. Just like with any job, you know, you have your downs. There's some days that get frustrating. There's those work cycles that are long.
Right.
There's those people you deal with that you just want to give them a nice hug around the neck, you know.
I like that.
I want to hug you right now.
I want to give you a hug right on your neck.
I like that.
Any other job, really.
Yeah. That's what I say. Like, you know, at the end of the day, the amount of places I've been, the amount of people I've met, that's what the experience is about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have met more people in the military that I now have like lifelong, relationships with. I practically have extended family almost everywhere around this world. It's nice. It's crazy.
See, that's cool.
And it is true. I'll go to places and literally, I remember one time I was in Germany and literally so I always have this issue, right? Sometimes the airport just lose my luggage.
That's the worst.
Yeah, that's happened to me like 5 times.
Damn.
And so one time I was in Germany, they lost my luggage, and they needed an address to deliver the luggage to. Well, of course, I didn't have an address in Germany. So I was like, okay, I talked to myself. I was like, who's in Germany right now? So I hit up my buddy. I was like, hey, man, long time no see. Hey, can you do me a favor? Yeah, I need your address because they lost my luggage and they need to deliver it to a place. He's like, don't worry, fam, I got you. And I was like, all right, cool.
Oh, nice.
It's like being part of a big old frat.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
Like around the whole world.
Yeah.
It's true. It's crazy the amount of people I've met that I can always just, even if I haven't talked to them in like over a year or just it's been a long time. Yeah, just hit them up. And I do the same thing too. I've met so many people that literally just come through and they say like, hey man, you know, I'm visiting so-and-so. I'm like, dude, come over. You know, I'll take you out. Like, we'll go see places. We'll go to dinner.
That
like,
is cute.
It's
loving family.
It is. It's one big, happy, happy family. So
nice. And he still owns his right cheek.
Yeah, it's I give him the right.
He owns his left.
Yeah, I like yes. to keep the left.
Don't get it confused.
There you go. He still owns his left. And with that, thank you for joining us on the table.
Oh,
thank
it was
you for
my
sharing
pleasure.
your military experience.
Thank you for your service.
Exactly.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, you're too kind. Too generous.
Finally, you're in the table. I'm so happy.
Yes,
I know.
Thank you.
We
for
still have a lot of things
all this
to
way,
talk about.
To just join us on the table.
Hey, you know, anytime I'm back in town, you know.
Another
episode. I'm always willing to come on and drop by.
Oh yeah, there's
other
topics.
There's a lot
to talk about.
I'm sure.
This is just barely scratching the surface for
sure
Jesse.
Our audience needs to know him first before we get to that
soft launch.
It's okay. You know, I'm sure with all the prior podcasts, you know, I can always remote in. You know.
True.
Guys, this is the intro to Jesse, so
he'll be back.
You'll hear more from
up.
Him.
Maybe from a different country, far, far away. But
it'll probably be from a different country.
Maybe it's me whispering because he's in the tent city.
He's outside in the middle
Someone's
of nowhere.
Someone's jacking off right now, so I can't be too loud.
The sheets are on.
My next location, it'll be a little under the weather, so I might, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll try to get a polar bear to join me on the podcast.
Oh,
I don't think there's going to be any fucking internet out there.
It's going to be very cold.
For real.
The antenna's going to be burying like 40 inches of snow.
Hey, look, it's audio. We only need the audio. We don't need video right now.
That's true.
Anyways, thank you. And yeah. This is where we end it. My name is Eduardo.
My name is Therese.
It's Mark.
This is Erica.
And Jesse.
Woo-hoo! Thank you so much and goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for your service, Dad.
Lay it all on the table.
Yes, sir.
You're always welcome.